Or let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I trust you minded the Lord tonight. If God has been pulling on your heart to go to the altar to do business with Him, about coldness in your heart, carnality in your life, about committing your life, recommitting your life, whatever it is, I trust that you've done that. I trust you've done that. I tell you what was on my mind, not to preach tonight, but what was on my mind hard, strong when I left the house tonight. I was sitting there thinking, Brother Tim, the will of God. I want you to get this now. I try to spend time, a lot of time, just thinking, meditating. I want God to speak to me. The will of God is never attached to rebellion. The will of God is never attached to carnality. The will of God is never attached to spiritual decline. The will of God is always attached to faithfulness. Amen. God help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's just some thoughts for you. Verse number 16, we'll not read the whole chapter. We have been at times. But we've been in this, and I want to try to finish this tonight if we can. Feel like it's time for us to move on to something else. I didn't know that it was going to be, 10 or 11 messages, I think. I didn't know it was going to do that, and you didn't know that. I didn't know that, but it just God's trying to get our attention, trying to help us. Verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's remain standing for prayer, and then you can be seated. Our Father, I want to bow before you one more time, asking God for that divine unction and help, Lord, that makes preaching effective. Thank you for what you did in the service this morning, how you used various people, testimonies, Lord, opening Sunday school, teaching of the teachers, singing, all of it, Lord, just to compile together, Lord, you used it. You used it. But Lord, that was this morning, and we need a fresh touch tonight. We need fresh oil. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the power of God. I pray that you'll bring to my mind clarity of thought and help me, dear Lord, to communicate your will and your word. I pray you'll challenge us tonight, and may your will be done, and we'll try our best, God, to give you the glory. Bring to my attention everything, God, that I need to see and say, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been dealing with, for several services, off and on, verse number 16, written in the context of conflict. Paul writing from the point of view of ministry in times of rough times, hard times. Verse number 8 and 9 reveals, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, all reveals hardships that are associated with the Christian journey. It talks about in verse number 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Paul is writing to us in this chapter, as he does a lot of other passages, on how to deal and how to survive and how to make it. I like that song they just sang. I'm going to make it. And that's what Paul's writing to us on how you can make it. What's the secret? I believe it's found in verse number 16, where it is not found and also where it is found. Where it is not found is not in the outward man, because the outward man is perishing. You can't depend on the outward man, the human nature, the flesh, if you will, to help you. It will not help you. Amen. Your flesh don't care one bit if you quit tonight. If you never go to church again, your flesh would love that. If you never pray another prayer, your flesh would love that. If you never read another verse of Scripture, never hand out another gospel tract, your flesh would love that tonight. The outward man is certainly not the answer. In fact, it's the enemy. Amen. The only good thing it's stated about verse number 16, that it is perishing. That's the only good thing said about the outward man. Read through your Bible. I'm trying not to get hung up right here because I do want to try to finish tonight if the Lord will help me. The outward, there's not one good thing said in the scripture about the flesh. Nothing. Not one good thing. Paul said that it within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Galatians 5, read that list of the works of the flesh, which are these, and look at it. Nothing good said about the flesh. Even Jesus said the flesh profiteth nothing. But where it is not, but it also in verse 16 tells us where it is, where our survival, where us making it is yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I've been trying to preach on that, the renewal of the inner man day by day. If you're not saved, you don't have an inner man. You don't have the inner man. You don't have what it takes to live for the Lord. And don't trust a salvation, friend, that does not bring into you the divine nature of God. I want you to hear the preacher tonight. Amen. If you Romans 8 and verse number 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the divine nature of God in you, and that's what causes you to love what God loves. Amen. That's what gives you a divine diet of the things of God, is that you have His nature, you have His life, and you have His Spirit. Amen. Don't trust a profession of faith. Amen. A trip to the altar, a prayer, whatever it is. Don't trust it. Don't trust it if it does not put inside of you the divine nature of God, the inner man. The inward man is renewed day by day. We've talked several things about that. We talked about the meaning of renewal, the must of renewal, the maintenance of renewal, and so on and so forth. The manner, the motives, the method. How is it that we do this? That's where we've been the last few services. How is it that we do it? One, verse number one of chapter four, we keep it serving. We have this ministry. Quitting is not the way you deal with hard times. Ministry, get involved, be active. Amen. Let your light shine for Jesus. Keep it strong. Keep it from fainting in verse number one. Keep it strong. Keep it seen, verse number two and three and four. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Keep the inward man visible to those around you. Keep it special. Verse number seven, he says it's that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. What God puts inside of you, God's word defines as a treasure. Keep it special. Verse number 8, 9, and 10, 11, and 12, keep the inward man separated. Separated from sin in verse 2. Separated from suffering, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. You're not going to be exempt from hardship. You might as well forget that. You're not going to avoid it. You walk with God, troubles, hardships are going to come your way. And by the way, let me just tell you, whether you're saved or not, they're coming your way. I believe it's Job 14:1, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So you can't get away from it. You're not excluded. But to keep it separated, keep the inward man separated from the effects of outward circumstances. I thought about this week, and I'm going to move on. I thought about it again, Brother Carroll, how I believe we're failing because we attach to our spiritual life feelings, emotions, circumstances. Amen. We attach those things to, we've got them connected to our spiritual life, Brother Craig. And so depending on how things go is how I do spiritually. But Paul is showing us here that even though you go through troubles, you don't have to be distressed. Even though you are perplexed, amen, you should not be in despair. Though you're persecuted, you're not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Keep the inward man separated. And then here's where we are at last and where we've been a couple services, is keep the inward man seeing. Verse 18 of chapter 3, but we all with an open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse number 18, if you look at that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we notice here there's a lot of emphasis about looking and beholding and seeing. You know how you're going to make it in this hour? Keep the inward man seeing. Keep the inward man focused. Keep the inward man. Listen, the inward man inside of you as a believer is not interested in looking at this world. It's not, this world is not attractive to the inward man. It's attractive to the outward man. Amen. Because we have a nature that hooks us up with this world. The flesh nature hooks us up with this world. But the inward man, Brother Tim, hooks us up with God's world. Amen. Amen. Keep the inward man seeing. Last week, I believe it was, we have three basic areas we are looking at in this. Number one, we're talking about keeping the inward man seeing. Seeing, number one, looking and seeing. Listen, how you're looking determines how you're living. Have you ever said to somebody driving down the road, most time it's ladies, come on, why don't you look where you're going? This kills my wife when somebody's driving like I don't know what. And I'll tell them, I said, I guarantee it's a woman. We'll get up there and 9 times out of 10 it is. Oh, it just tickles me to death. This tickles me to death to say that. Every once in a while, it'll be a man. She'll say, nope, that's a man. I said, well, he's probably listening to his wife. But, amen, your focus, you're going where you're looking. Where's your vision at tonight? What are you looking at? What are you concentrating on tonight? Where's your accent as the preacher preached this morning? First thing we notice in this passage, and we dealt with it already, is that we need to be looking at the person of Christ. Chapter 3 and verse number 18, we're beholding the Lord with an open face, and we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We need to be looking at the Lord. Can I get a witness right there? You say, well, but preacher, how can we look at the Lord? We can't see Him. Oh yeah, you can see Him. Faith sees Him. Faith sees Him. And I don't have time to go back and deal with that, but I want you to jot these three things down. We look at Him, we see Him, Brother Jeter, in the Scriptures. The written Word and the living Word are inseparable. If you want to see the Lord, young ladies, if y'all want to see the Lord, right here it is. Right here's the mirror of the Word of God. The written Word reveals the living Word. He is called the Word of God. So how is it that you see the Lord? In the Scriptures. That's why the devil don't want you to read the Bible. That's why the devil don't want you to be tuned in to preaching. It's because the Word of God will reveal Christ to you. It'll reveal the corruption in you, but it'll reveal Christ to you. So if I'm going to see, let me get this. Everybody writing this down? The first thing is, if I'm going to see Christ, if I'm going to look at the person of Christ, I need to look at the Word of God, the Scriptures. Now this one's going to get you. Number two, if I'm going to look at Christ, I need to look at self. Wait a minute, preacher. What are you talking about self? The Bible, open verse number 18 of chapter 3, Brother Tim, we're looking into a glass. That's a mirror. What's a mirror for, Brother J.R.? Reflection. If I'm going to see the Lord, I need to be able to see Him in my life. Not just look in the Scriptures, Brother McCarricker, and see Him on the pages, but be able to look at Him in my life and see Him in practice. Can you look in your life and see Jesus? Can you see Him? You say, preacher, you got proof text on that? I'm glad you asked. Because verse number 18 of chapter 3 says, as we're beholding Him, we are changed into the S-A-M-E, same image. Amen. Well, look at it. Chapter 4, verse number 10. I'm on the move. Everybody on the move with me. Chapter 4, verse 10. Look at it. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Look at it. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's manifest in our body. If others can see it, I can see it. Let's flip that around, Brother Ivan. The life of Christ is manifest in my body. And if others can't see it, if I can't see it, others can't see it. We look at the scriptures to see the Lord. We look at self to see the Lord. He is, his fingerprint is all in our life. We bear his image. We bear his image. Everybody listening? Listen to this verse right here. In Galatians chapter number 1. Now I've never preached that before. That's all new stuff. Amen. But Galatians chapter number 1 in verse 15, he says, we're called. Paul said, I was called by his grace. Okay, that's salvation. Verse 16, the next verse, here's why he saved Paul. To reveal his son in me. Reveal his son in me, which means you can look at Paul and see the Lord. And if others can see the Lord in Paul, Paul can see the Lord in Paul. Here's you another verse. Romans 8 and verse 29. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Verse 9 it says, put off the old man with his deeds. Verse number 10, Brother Travis, it says there, put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Did y'all get that? What have I been preaching on now this passage for 11 services now? Being renewed in the inner man right there in that Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10 puts that in there. Put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm saying you look at Christ in the scriptures, you look and see Christ in self. Can you look? That's a simple question, is it not? Look in your life. Do you see Christ in your attitude? Do you see Christ in your aspirations? Do you see Christ in your actions? Amen. Do you see Christ in your associations? Well, do you see Christ in your appetite? Spiritual appetite. And then thirdly, we see Christ in the Spirit. In the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God's business to magnify Christ, to glorify Christ, to point Him out. And the Spirit of God will reveal Jesus to you. Amen. That's right. All right, let's move on. Everybody read it? I just had to bump that a little bit. We need a little refreshment right there. We need to be keeping it seeing. Number one, we're looking at the person of Christ. Write it down. Number two, we're halfway home. Number two, we need to be looking at the positives of the conflict. Oh, yeah. We need to be looking at the person of Christ. My inner man feeds on Christ. Looking at Him. Amen. Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Given an example of an athletic runner. As he runs, he doesn't look to the side and competition. He doesn't compare himself to other runners, but rather he looks ahead as he presses toward the mark. I say unto you, if our inner man is going to, if we're going to keep on keeping on in conflict and hard times, and they're coming, they're here now, but that we've not seen nothing yet like it's going to happen. Amen. I'm just being a realist. It's going to happen. Our country can't keep going the way it's going and have the favor and blessings of God on it. It just cannot do that. And I wonder how many in church are ready for rough times. No, let me say it another way. I wonder how many in church are readying yourself for rough times. I wonder how many in church are focused. And listen, I've been preaching 11 services on what it's going to take for you to stand tall when everybody else is bowing to the images of this world. Your inner man, your spiritual life is your stability. Your spiritual life is your survival. You're not going to make it if you don't have that, if you don't focus on that. Not only look at the person of Christ, but look at the positives of the conflict. Chapter 4, verse 17. Everybody still there? Look at it. For our light affliction. Wait a minute, Paul. You can't be a Baptist and describe 35 years of hardship as light affliction. Here's a question you almost don't ask anybody in church. How are you doing? Because they're probably going to tell you. Amen. Paul said, I tell you what, 35 years of imprisonment, of abandonment, 35 years of scourging, imprisonment, stonings, revilings, poverty, want, and a host of other things. Paul said, it's just light affliction. The positives of the conflict, there's three of them in that verse. First, he said, conflicts are just trivial. Trivial. They're just light. They're not even hardly worth talking about. Listen to this right here, chapter number 11. I was planning on reading them, but I'm not going to read them. But I want you to mark this in your notes. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse number 16, through the rest of the chapter. When you get time, I hope you'll take time to read this list of detailed afflictions that Paul went through. I mean, from being beat, being in prison, in deaths often, five times received 40 stripes, saved one, beaten, shipwrecked, verse 26, in perils of water, robbers, mine own countrymen, heathen, in city, in wilderness, in sea, in false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings, verse 27, in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold, nakedness. And the list goes on. But you know what Paul said? A lot of afflictions. You know what a sure sign is that you're losing ground and that I'm losing ground spiritually? It's when I start making little things big and big things little. When my problems become mountains and my spiritual life becomes little molehills. It's when I know I'm in trouble. You know what Paul said? Light affliction. The first positive of a conflict is make sure you stay focused on the fact that they are just light afflictions. Amen. Now wait a minute. Light in this verse is a weight term. I'm not talking about turning the light switch on. It's talking about how much something weighs. Now you can't determine if something's light unless you compare it to something else. Paul said, I'll tell you why I know that 35 years of suffering has been described by me as light afflictions. He says, because I've compared it to something else. Paul, what have you compared it to? The eternal weight of glory. Oh, that's good. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul talks about another man, another person, but really he's talking about himself, being caught up in the third heaven. Amen. And guess what? The Lord let him, Brother J.R., come back to this land, back to this world, and pin down some scripture. Guess what one of those were? Let me read it. I could quote it, but I want to read it to you because I want you to know I am getting it out of the Bible. This verse, Paul writes after he makes that trip to the third heaven, the abode of God. For I reckon, Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said, I'm weighing out my problems compared to the glory that's coming. Amen. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1, wrote after that as well, wrote after that incident. He wrote this, amen. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul, how do you know it's far better? Because I've done been over there. I've done got a glimpse. I've done got a taste. He said, in fact, it was so glorious, God wouldn't even let me talk about it for 14 years. And he'd give me a thorn in the flesh just to keep my feet on the ground. Paul said, it's just light. What you're going through, is it just considered to be a light affliction? Paul said, what's really big is the glory that awaits. So number one, the first positive of the conflict is it's trivial. The second positive of the conflict is that it's transforming. Look at it, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Wait a minute, preacher, that don't make sense. Well, I didn't write the Bible. Worketh for us. You know why people gets down when they go through hard times? You know why their spiritual life goes down the tubes when they go through hard times? Amen. You know why? You know why, Brother Tim? We do not see that God works in mysterious ways. God's ways are not our ways, and that God, my friend, can work in negative times, work in hardship, work in adversity to bring about His purpose. God promised Joseph at the age of 17 that he would be upon the throne one day. But nothing that happened after that looked like he was ever going in that direction. Looked like he was going under. Looked like he was going under. Amen. But you see, God used that way to get him to where he needed to be, to where he would have to say, God did it. The first positive of the conflict is it's trivial. You know what Paul's doing? Paul's just making light of what you're going through. Because he says it is. It's light afflictions. And then he says it's transforming. God is saying in this passage that He's using these afflictions, and here's what it says, worketh for us, not against us. Worketh for us, transforming. Boy, I like that, don't you? Psalms 57, I'm not going to read all the verses, but verse number one, it makes this clear. Psalms 57 and verse number one. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, listen to this, until these calamities be overpassed. The next verse says, I will cry unto God Most High, that performeth all things for me. How are we going to make it? Keep the inner man seeing, focused on the spiritual, the scriptural, the divine. Looking at the person of Christ in the scriptures, in self, in the spirit. Looking at the positives of the conflict. They're trivial. They're transforming. And then we ought to be able to say hallelujah over this. The third positive, Brother Andrews, is this. They are temporary. For these light affliction which worketh for us a far more exceed. Amen. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment. It don't seem like a moment when you're in the moment. You wonder, will the sun ever shine again? But God's word says that your afflictions are temporary. Hallelujah, glory to God. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Boy, I like that. Amen. Boy, if the scriptures you could parallel with that, but it's temporary. Worketh for us, it's but for a moment. You need to remind yourself of that. I need to remind myself of that, that no matter what's coming in my life, it's temporary. Negative hardships, adversities, conflict are temporary. It's going to pass. The old colored preacher got in a big way of preaching. He said, my favorite statement in the Bible is, and it came to pass. Amen. And it came to pass. The third thing, quickly, keep it seeing. We're looking at the person of Christ. We're looking at the positives of the conflict. And boy, I like this. This is it. We're looking at the permanent that's coming. Look at it, verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, that blesses me. The inward man is renewed day by day as we look ahead, when the need for day by day renewal is forever past. There's coming a day, Brother Jeter, if y'all let me enjoy this a minute. There's coming a day when I'll never fail God again. There's coming a day when I'll never have to say, I'm sorry again. I'll never have to ask God for forgiveness again. I'll never be renewed again. Thank God there's a day coming. Hallelujah. There's a future coming when all the wars and weakness and our weariness will be forever past, will be forever over. No more sad news, no more sorrows. Thank God we'll step out of time and we'll step into eternity. Oh, amen, unending forever. Amen, that is a land of no mores, a land of no more death, a land of no more sorrow, a land of no more sickness. Thank God for that. There'll be no wheelchairs there. There'll be no hospitals there. There'll be no funeral homes there, no rest homes there. Are you listening? No jail houses will be needed there. Why? Because we'll step into the eternal forever. Hallelujah. Listen, we're looking at the person of Christ. We're looking at the positives of the conflict. And then we're looking at and focusing with the inner man, the permanent that is coming. We're going to bid farewell one day to the old man that's perishing. Thank God. I've been defeated more by my own stinking flesh than I have anything else. I know sometimes we say the devil's on us and the devil's after us and the devil's fighting us, but most of us will never have an encounter with the devil. I'll tell you what note throws us in a tailspin. The devil knows, Brother Tim, the weakness of your flesh. Brother Andrews, the devil knows the wickedness of your flesh. And all he has to do, Brother Bill, I thought about this yesterday, all he has to do is just keep this world wicked and ungodly to where it appeals to that wicked nature, to that weak nature. And you will stumble and trip and fall and falter all along the journey. Amen. He don't have to work hard to get us all out of shape. All he has to do is make sin attractive. Make sure that there's allurements and attractions around you, and it will appeal to that old weak old man that's perishing. Come on now. That's right. Most 90%, I'm going to say 100%. I was going to say 90%, but 100% of the people that fall spiritually, they didn't fall because the devil tripped them up. They fell because they said yes to the flesh. When the flesh was allured, when the flesh was attracted to something of this world, and you give in and said, you can have it. Amen. That's right. But the gaze upon the permanent that is coming, chapter 4 and verse number 17. Listen to this. I thought this was good. We'll be done in a moment. But listen to this. Praise God, I said in verse number 18. Look at it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Do you see the two? Brother Brian, do you see the two? Do y'all see the two? We're looking, one, at the things which are seen. That's the old man. The old man's looking at what we can see with these eyes. But he says also there's another side. While we look not at the things which are, but at the things which are not seen. That's the divine, the spiritual, the holy, the heavenly, the future. Amen. And I wrote this down. Actually, I wrote it down last night. There's coming a day, Miss Debbie, that this is going to switch around. Son, I about got happy sitting on the couch. There's a day coming, Brother Fultz, that's going to switch. You say, what do you mean it's going to switch? Right now, what I can see is earthly.
Yeah. Yes.
But what I can't see is eternal.
Yeah.
But there's coming a day when that's going to flip around. And that which I can see now, I will never see again. And that which I cannot see now with these eyes, one day I will see forever. Some of you didn't get that. I could tell by looking at you, you didn't get it. That's a blessing. Right now, you look around, you don't have to look far. You see hardship, adversity, people's going through it, their backs against the wall. Troubles are on the way. Troubles everywhere you look. Amen. God's grace is more than sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I understand all of that. But for God's people, I can't help but encourage you tonight to look ahead. Look on ahead. Look on ahead. There's a better day coming, Brother Ron. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Thank God one of these golden mornings, Jesus is going to come. And I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just passing through. A stranger can't feel at home till he gets home, and a pilgrim's on his way home. That's me, and that's you if you're saved. Look at not only the person of Christ, the positives of the conflict, but also the permanent that's coming. I'm glad one day what is now seen will no longer be seen. And what is not seen will forever be seen. Thank God that day's coming. Amen. Being saved really, though, has the best of both worlds, the best of both. Right now, we're seeing and enjoying the realities of the spiritual through the eyes of faith. But one day, our faith will become sight. And we will see. Does that do anything for us tonight to know that we are going to see the King? We are going to see the King. We're going to see the Lord. There's folk scattered out through this congregation. You've lost loved ones over the past year. They're gone. I'm talking about saved folk. I guarantee you they're still at the feet of Jesus. You say you reckon they're looking at their mansion? I doubt it. You say reckon they went ooh and wow and whoa at the street of gold and transparent street of gold or the walls of jasper? Gates of pearl? Be able to look straight up 1,500 miles high at a city? Look, 1,500 miles in any direction, that's a big city. But I guarantee you, they're at the feet of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. My mom and dad's been over there since mom went out, checked out in 06. Daddy checked out in 07. That, you said, preach, that's been a while. Not in heaven, it isn't. Who was it said this morning, no calendars there? Who said that? Miss Shannon did. No calendars there. Amen. No calendars. Boy, I like that, don't you? Amen. Though mom and dad's been there since 06 and 07, no matter when I go, I'm going to get there the same day they do. Brother Tim, ain't that good? Miss Paul said, we're going to get there the same day Brother Brooks did. Same time Brother Obie. Same time Miss Ellen. Same time all these has passed on. Amen. That died with their faith in the Lord and they truly were born again Christians. I'm telling you, I'm going to make it the same day they make it, because with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. I'm glad there's a permanent condition coming. Praise God. Right now, time's changing. This world's changing. The flesh is changing. Our economy's changing. People are changing. I'm glad one of these mornings we're going to wake up and step out of a changing world, step out of a changing body. Amen. Step into a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Step into a home. Praise God. Jesus called it the Father's house. Focus on. Keep your inner man seeing. When you quit seeing with your inner man, the spiritual, the scriptural, the divine, the holy, the heavenly. And you start looking with these eyes and you start paying attention. What's starting to get big now is relationships and your bank account and what you're driving and what you're going to buy and what you need and the bigger this and the bigger that and the more of this and more of that. Next thing you know, your spiritual life starts going. And then you come into church and you'll sit back there with the choir singing like they did tonight and you'll sit there. Are you focusing? Are you living off of these eyes, what it can see? Are you living off of the eyes of the inner man? You say, can we see the Lord? Ask Stephen. Stephen, he wasn't seeing a vision. That was reality. Being stoned. He said, preacher, we wasn't being stoned to death. No, he's been rocked to sleep. And when the stones were coming, Brother Webb, when he died on his knees. I don't believe he ever fell over. I don't believe he ever fell over. I believe he died on his knees. When he knelt down to pray, or when he knelt down, you remember me preaching on that. He didn't kneel down to pray. He was praying before he ever knelt down. I believe he knelt down, one, because he was looking at the majestic, exalted Christ, enthroned Christ, standing at the right hand of the Father. And he was still yet in the time of stoning, bowing down to the Lord. As if to say, Lord, the stones, the suffering, the hardship has not changed my mind about you. I still love you and I still bow to you. Amen. And I believe that's the position he died in, right there on his knees. Amen. And he saw the Lord. What are you looking at? Let me give you this and we'll be done. Do you remember, what was it, 2 Kings 6? Anyway, it's in the Kings where Elijah and his servant got up one morning, went outside and went back, looked around and said, and it's not in the scripture, but he no doubt said, oh no, I'm afraid we're about to have a bad day. As he was encamped around about with this Syrian host, he went back in and woke up the man of God and said, alas, master, what shall we do? What are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're encamped around about with the Syrian army, and they're going to kill us. Elijah never even got nervous, never even got tore up, didn't take a Tylenol or nothing. He just bowed down on his knees, said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. He went out first, Brother Fultz, and he had fear that was gripping his heart, and he thought, oh no, what are we going to do? Why? He's looking with these eyes.
That's right. Yep.
But Elijah said, open his eyes and let him see. And he opened his eyes and let him see. And he looked past the Syrian coast and looked upon the mountain, and all the way around him was chariots of fire from heaven. And he went back in there and he said, guess what, master? They that be for us are more than they that be against us. What made the difference? Which eyes he was looking with. Amen. Keep the inner man seeing. That's how you renew the inner man day by day. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you.